Good evening, church. To our friends, we welcome you as well. May you have a good evening and you too be greeted. It is our honor to be able to share this space together in unity, to be able to sing praises to our God, to approach Him through the prayer, and of course to remember that precious sacrifice that the Lamb of God was willing to make for you and I so that we can draw near to our God through His precious blood. We now come to our portion of worship where we get to sit at the feet of our God together and we get to learn from His holy word, and thus we are grateful for such a blessing. Again, to the friends that are with us tonight, we welcome you. We hope that any questions you may have, you feel the confidence to ask them, not just to myself, but any one of our members here at the Southeast body. And it would be our great pleasure to open our Bibles together and allow God's word to provide those answers that your questions may be seeking. You will please bow with me as we pray before our lesson. Our mighty God and our beloved King, with great joy, with much reverence and love, we bow before thy holy feet through the avenue of prayer. Knowing, Father, that you have given us the certainty through this word that your Spirit has inspired, that because, Father, we are children of the kingdom, having been washed in the blood of the Lamb without spot, and Father, seeking to rightly divide thy word of truth and application and practicality, we may, Father, approach thy throne of grace with the promise that you too may draw near to us. Thank you for giving us this audience. Thank you for allowing us, Father, to stand in your presence. And thus, Father, it is with great honor and with great respect that we too ask for the forgiveness of our sins. Forgive us, Father, for any ungodly thought that we've had. Forgive us for any action that we may have done that has transgressed thy holy law. Forgive us, Father, if ever we have done that which displeases you. Please, Father, grant us the wisdom, the humility, the meekness, the boldness, so that we may acknowledge, Father, and take responsibility and accountability for our actions. But also, Father, that we may find the strength in your word so that we may repair the damages that our sin has made. Father, as we now study of this thy servant, please allow us to mark him as a blameless man, as you have done so through the example of his character that you left. That we, Father, may put on hold, Father, the trials of this world, the lives of this earthly realm, so that we may, Father, have our attention fully on thee in eternity, and that our minds, Father, may be filled with thy holy word. Thus allow this thy servant to speak as thy servant, that I may speak in accordance to thy will, that I, Father, may speak as thy oracle. That those who are listening to my voice, Father, may have the diligence to search in Scripture, to hear intently and allow your word to be the one to permeate. And if your word has indeed been taught in its entirety, that, Father, we all may find the strength so that we may apply it in our daily living. Once more, thank you. Thank you for allowing us this great honor. For we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. There are certain people in our lives that when we perhaps are going through some of the most difficult challenges, or perhaps through most darkest periods, that we remember those people who were just so happened to be there. People that were a source of encouragement, people that perhaps were there who were just the right person that could help us through whatever the challenge was. And when we think about this kind of person, we say to ourselves, how fortunate was I to have so-and-so there with me during this trial. You see, the name of Tychicus, or Tychicus, I don't honestly know which is the proper pronunciation, but the name means fortunate. And indeed, when we read about Paul, who writes about this brother more than once, in fact, he writes about Tychicus or Tychicus four different times. Each time it's in a favorable light. Each time he speaks about this man as if it was a fortune to have him among his presence. We meet Tychicus there in Acts chapter 20, verse 4, when Paul was getting ready to go off to the island of Miletus, where he was going to speak with the elders of Ephesus. We see that this man whose name is Fortunate, this servant, was with Paul on this journey. And perhaps you've noticed that during this series, most of the men and women that we've been studying about, they were all, from the New Testament at least, companions of Paul during his mission trips. You know, The Bible tells us that he who walks with wise men shall himself be wise. It's amazing when we look at who Paul surrounded himself with. Any of us would say that Paul was the wise man, that Paul was the one that you wanted to surround yourself with. But yet, pay close attention to the men and women that Paul surrounded himself with. The men and women whom Paul walked with, the men and women that Paul chose to keep in company, people that we now see, as the Bible reveals about us, were people of godly character, people who were upright and righteous in the way that they live. If you will turn back to your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 through 9, which have already been read for us, and notice the kind of man that this man was. Why, having Tychicus or Tychicus at his side, was such a fortunate presence? We see that love that Paul had for this man in verse 7 as he calls him a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. These three epithets, if you will, are great, great descriptions of this man. We could immediately take these three and say that these would be, if you will, our outline that show why this man was indeed godly before God. The fact that Paul calls him a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord speaks volumes about the kind of Christian that he was. It shows that he was a man who was committed. He was a man who was devoted. But this has been the running trend with every one of the people that we've seen so far. Priscilla and Aquila were the same way. Epaphroditus was the same way. As we read this morning, Luke also was the same way. So it is not truly surprising to read that this man too, like the rest of Paul's companions, were faithful, were committed, were godly, was rather a godly servant of God. But what I would like for you and I to see tonight in the time that has been allotted to us is I'd like for you and I to start with the fact that Paul, there in verse 7, shows us that Tychicus was a good servant who did not grumble about grunt work. Do you remember Korah from the book of Numbers? Korah, that Levite who complained about being of him and his family having the responsibility of building the temple, bringing down the temple, carrying building the tabernacle, tearing down the tabernacle, carrying it around wherever it is that they traveled. He complained and he grumbled because he believed that nepotism was taking place among the Israelites. He questioned, why would Aaron be the one that be chosen to be the high priest? He questioned and asked, essentially, when using our modern vernacular, why do they get the cushy job? Why do we get the grunt work? Why are we the ones that always have to work with our hands? Are we not Levites as well? Are we not priests also? Tychicus never complained about being a grunt worker. In fact, when you read in the passages where you find about this man, he doesn't speak once. At least we don't hear any speech, or we don't see or anything that he wrote. We only read about the things that he did. And in the bulk of the passages, in Acts chapter 20, verse 4, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21, Colossians chapter 4, verse 7, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, and Titus chapter 3, verse 12, you know what you always read? You will always read a diligent worker doing what had been assigned to him. This man, if you will, was a messenger always sent on behalf of God, on behalf of Paul. The letters written to Colossae were given to Tychicus to take out to Laodicea. The letter from Laodicea, it was Tychicus who would bring it over to the Colossians. The letter to Hierapolis, again, this was the man who was carrying these letters and going to these different congregations, reading them, and then hearing what their responses were. Tychicus was a messenger on behalf of Paul. He carried these letters, and you know, anyone would say, well, you know, Paul was simply using Tychicus as a postal man. But this man carried the word of God. This man carried and brought the messages that were given to him. And he did not see himself as inferior, or because what he was doing was not at the level of a preacher or an elder. He did not consider himself less than the other servants. He considered it just as important. So much so that because Tychicus did this kind of work, you and I have the letter of Colossians and the letter of Philemon today. Letters that are inspired that we can learn from. Letters that no doubt were preserved by this man who carried them on those dangerous roads. Remember, brethren, that the Bible has always had enemies. There have always been men and women who have wanted to destroy it, and therefore Tychicus, along with Phoebe, were doing a very vital and important work by carrying these words to their fellow brethren. They weren't seen as less than important just because they were carrying the message, but rather the messenger who had to protect and preserve the words they were carrying were vital to this mission. Again, think about the fact that many centuries later, we still have these inspired words with us. Even though we were not the original audience that the letters were written for, we can still benefit from the instructions that Paul gave there at Colossae. We can still learn from the example of what God appealed to at Philemon. Had Tychicus decided not to carry this, had he decided, like Demas did as we studied this morning, you know what, I am a man who is of great renown, I am better than this, I am not just an errand boy, well, we wouldn't have these letters with us, would we? But he never grumbled. He never complained. He simply served. He was diligent in what he had given. He did not stop like Korah to say, well, I too am an able minister. Notice verse 7, the Bible says that he was a faithful minister. You know, that word minister, we have in our time, during our lives, we have come to really water it down to what it actually means. We have made it to exclusively mean preacher. But to be a minister means so much more than just one who is before a congregation and speaks. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. When Paul says that Tychicus was a faithful minister, let me read to you what that means. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning there at verse 8 and going on all the way to verse 11. The Bible reads, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another, for as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. This was Tychicus. He served without grumbling. Like Luke, he used what he had, and he did it in service of God. He knew the routes that he was going to be walking. He knew how to keep himself alive during these dangerous trials. He knew how to protect and preserve that precious word that he was bringing to those congregations that needed it. And thus he did not grumble. He did not complain. If you will, he was hospitable to Paul, but he was also hospitable to the congregations that he was taking those letters to. That which he had, he ministered it to them, to each one with a great love, knowing that he too was in service of the great King. Brethren, we are all ministers of the kingdom, because we all have gifts that we can minister to one another. You don't have to have the talent to speak publicly in order to be considered a minister. Sometimes the greatest ministers in any congregation are the ones who know how to listen with intention. Are the ones who know how to listen with love and know how to give love and comfort with a simple squeeze of the shoulder. There are many areas of ministry that can be fulfilled for every Christian. Because in the kingdom of God, there is no role greater or lesser than. Because we all minister to one another, because we are all stewards of the manifold wisdom or manifold grace of God. Remember that the word manifold means multifaceted and means many types. The idea is that we can all minister to one another in a multiplicity of ways. So the man standing before you is not the only minister at this congregation. For if we are all servants of God, and if we are faithful, We are all ministers in service of the great King. Tychicus, brethren, shows us that example. He shows us that he understood that what he was doing, even though he was simply a messenger, even though he was being sent on behalf of Paul, even though there were some that perhaps would say, oh, well, all he does is just carry around those letters and goes from city to city, it was not something that was inferior to what Paul had written. You see, without Tychicus, Paul's message would not have arrived safely. But we go back to Colossians chapter 4. Again, we see how this man served without grumbling. We see how this man understood what his responsibility was as a steward of God's manifold grace. But when we go back, pay close attention in verse 8 now. The Bible says, I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstance and comfort your hearts. You see, Tychicus was not only going to carry the letter, but he was also going to inform himself about what their situation was. But he wasn't only going to bring back the message to Paul. Notice Tychicus understood that he too had a duty to be a comforter to that congregation. See, brethren, there are certain people that when they appear, instead of comforting us, they discomfort us. You know, there are certain people that when we see them arrive upon our doorstep, or we see them arrive at the same building, same location that we are at, that we wince and we feel like, oh man, Alex is here again. You see, brethren, sometimes we can be discouraging instead of encouraging. Paul specifically chose Tychicus because he knew that his presence at Colossae would be received with great comfort. Whatever they were going through, whatever struggles they were going through that Paul does not address here in the letter of the Colossians, Paul says, Tychicus is the man who will be able to grant you that listening ear. He will be there to hear of your affairs. I am sending him so that he can be a sounding board for you. Someone that you can vent to. Someone that you can take it off your chest, because he will know how to comfort you. He will know what to say. He will know what to do. This is a gift that this servant truly has. Remember how Paul this morning called Luke a beloved physician? Well, notice that Paul here is calling Tychicus a beloved brother. You know, for those of you who have more than one sibling, there's always that one sibling you connect with the most. There's always that one sibling that you feel that comfort that you can open up to. But for those of us who've only had one, and perhaps that one sibling was not a comforter, perhaps that one sibling we were always guarded against because they were the ones trying to stumble us, we were blessed with a friend who, as we saw in Proverbs 17:17 this morning, was born for adversity. We were blessed with a friend who we know and think about as fortunate of having them around us. A friend that we could go to. Someone that we trusted. Someone that I can open up to. And even though I already know what it is that I may do, that friend knows to just stay quiet and let me vent to him or her. Someone that understands that I'm not necessarily looking for advice. I'm just looking to get it off my chest. This was Tychicus. Well, how did Paul know that? Where was Paul when he wrote this letter? And where was Tychicus when Paul wrote this letter? Paul was in prison, brethren. Paul had been in prison unrighteously, for the letter written to the Colossians was written during his first imprisonment. This is when Paul was in prison because the Jews accused him of bringing Gentiles into the temple, as we see there in the book of Acts, chapter 21 and chapter 22. You see, Tychicus was there with Paul. We already mentioned Acts chapter 20, verses 1 through 4. He was there with Paul at Jerusalem when Paul was arrested. He was there and he saw when Paul was unrighteously being accused. He was there when he was aware that the Jews were trying to plot against Paul and trying to kill him. He was with Paul when Paul appealed to Caesar and was sent to Rome to wait to see the emperor and plead his case. All through it, this faithful servant, this beloved brother, was with Paul. And even though Paul was in chains, his message could still be sent to comfort the congregations who were concerned about Paul's safety, to comfort the congregations about the well-being and what was going on with him. And Paul knew that the right man to do this was his beloved brother, his faithful minister, his fellow servant of the Lord, Tychicus. He was sent as a comforter. He was sent, if you will, as another Barnabas. But remember that Barnabas was a son of encouragement. Tychicus, on the other hand, was a comforter. One who served as a fresh breath of air to the lungs of someone who perhaps felt like they could not breathe. But he didn't only take news of Paul to them. He too was there to receive news from them so that he can serve Paul while he was in prison and be a comfort to him. Brethren, this man was godly because, again, we see that he had a great talent. He knew how to put people at ease. He knew how to bring calm and peace into their souls while they were in distress. He knew what to say in a godly way without offering false hope. Again, Paul says, "He will make known to you of my affairs." He wasn't about to lie to them. He was not about to hold back anything. But the message that Paul was sending with Tychicus, even though it may be a hard truth to hear, he would know how to do it in a way where everyone would not become anxious over the update they were going to receive. He was a man who knew how to measure his words. He was a man who knew how to speak the truth in love. He was a man who knew what needed to be spoken in the best way possible to leave people encouraged and not discouraged. Even though Tychicus was going to come to Colossae and tell them, "No, our brother Paul, he has not been freed. He is still in prison. And yes, he has been forsook by all those who were at his first defense. But worry not, Paul trusts. And Paul knows that he will be delivered from this one." Even though he's not having a good time, the gospel has not been changed. And our brother has been very much active while he's been in chains, preaching even to the Roman soldiers who attend to him. Notice what a talent of a man. That even though he was giving the bad news, he knew how to also show and balance it out with the positive outcomes of them. He knew how to bring their minds to the blessings that were found within this curse, to comfort, to strengthen, to encourage. We need more men and women like Tychicus in our lives. We must earn and strive to be more like Tychicus ourselves when we deliver the gospel news of salvation. We, like him, must be those messengers of comfort. Yes, it is true that you are in sin. Yes, friend, it is true that if you die and do not repent, you would die in your sins. But today, behold now the day of salvation. Behold, now you can solve your sin problem. Yes, the sin that you have done perhaps is not an easy one to overcome, but in Christ all things are possible. And the beauty of salvation is that God is not asking you to do it alone, but God is asking you to do it with His Son and His Bride. This was Tychicus, brethren. A beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. One who knew how to connect with people. One who knew how to comfort and how to encourage. So once more, we see Tychicus was a messenger and a worker who did not grumble about what he had to do. We see that he was a messenger who knew how to comfort, who knew how to leave people encouraged and motivated, no matter what news he had to deliver. But now we get to my favorite point in verse 9. And I love this because before I started studying about him, I had never noticed this until now. Go with me back to Colossians chapter 4, verse 9. "With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you, they will make known to you all things which are happening here." Well, what's so special about this verse? Why is that his favorite point? The diligent student of the Bible knows why, because you recognize the name. Onesimus was the runaway slave of Philemon. You see, the reason this became my favorite point is because when we read the letter written to Philemon, at least in my tiny brain, I, for whatever reason, always imagined that Onesimus was the one carrying the letter to Philemon himself. But Onesimus was not sent alone to Philemon, because it would not have been wise for him to appear at the house of Philemon declaring that he was now a Christian. It would have been very difficult for Philemon to accept this as truth, considering who this man was and what he had done before accepting Christ. Tychicus was a Barnabas to Onesimus. Let me take you to Acts chapter 9 so that you understand what I mean. And there's no doubt in my mind that Saul, or Paul, remembered what Barnabas had done for him. And it is for this reason why he sent Tychicus along with Onesimus, so that together they could go and speak to Philemon. Acts chapter 9, beginning at verse 26, the Bible reads, we're going to read from verse 26, and we'll read up to verse 28. The Bible reads, "And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and did not believe that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming in and going out." Paul remembered what Barnabas was for him. Paul never forgot what Barnabas had done for him. And now here we have Tychicus that we're without any doubt calling him a beloved brother, calling him a fellow minister, and calling him a faithful minister and a fellow servant in the Lord. Paul saw in Tychicus the same spirit that Barnabas held. And therefore now Tychicus had the great honor to do for Onesimus what Barnabas did for him. He was a peacemaker. Onesimus needed someone to be a peacemaker on his behalf. He needed, if you will, someone to verify that he indeed was no longer the same man who had run away. He needed someone to verify, indeed, he is not the slave who stole from you, if we are to accept that Onesimus had stolen from his master. He is a changed man, Philemon. And Paul, our fellow brother, whom you love, whom I love, has sent me to speak on his behalf. I am here to verify that the letter that I am turning over to you is indeed from Paul, and that the words that this our brother Onesimus is speaking are true, for I have seen him serve Paul as he declares it to be so. Tychicus, brethren, was serving as a comforter on behalf of Onesimus, but he was sent as a peacemaker to reconcile Philemon and Onesimus with one another. He was sent by Paul to bring these two men to peace. He was sent by Paul so that they can set aside their differences and make right what Onesimus had made wrong. He was sent so that Onesimus would not have to endure this burden alone, because it would have been cruel both to Philemon and to Onesimus to let them figure it out on their own. Tychicus, brethren, was instrumental for this reconciliation process. He was fundamental to bringing a man who was wronged by his servant to forgive the wrongs that had been happening. He was instrumental to encouraging a man who had wronged his master to be humble and to seek forgiveness from his master, to take and accept the accountability of his actions, regardless of the fact whether he was a Christian when he did it or not, which we know he wasn't. But Tychicus was assigned this by Paul. He was the man whom Paul sent to help make this right between these two men. He was, as the Apostle Paul was able to determine, the right man for the job. Why? He was a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. He was blameless. You see why it's important to be blameless? Because when we, brethren, are upright, and when we are righteous, brethren, we can help two brothers or two sisters or a brother and sister who perhaps are not in peace, at peace with one another. We can help them heal, and we can help them come together to find that unity of the Spirit once again. See, both men that we saw today, Luke and Tychicus, were healers in their own respect and in their own way. But both of them were instrumental to healing. See, Tychicus, brethren, was a man who, because he was a comforter, he was also a peacemaker. So we see, brethren, then, that this man was blameless and upright, because even though Paul says he was a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord, this is manifested in the fact that he did not grumble in the work that he had to do. He was a faithful messenger. He did not underestimate it, nor did he view it as inferior, but he understood that any work and every work done in the name of the Lord is important and valuable to the kingdom. So he did not grumble as the messenger, but rather he carried out his office. He carried out his duty in a loving and humble way. Tychicus, brethren, we see as a second point that he was a comforter. He went to comfort the hearts of the Colossians. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21 and verse 22, Paul sent him to Ephesus for the same reason, so that he can comfort their hearts as well. He was a man who knew how to deliver bad news and still leave them feeling with hope and positivity. He was a man who was able to use his skills to listen, to allow them to vent and bring forth on him whatever it is that he needed to bring forth so that they can get it off his chest. He was a great comforter. He was a faithful minister who used the manifold stewardship of God. And finally, he was a peacemaker. He was a man who served as a peacemaker between a master and his slave. A man who was able to bring peace between these two men who at one time were enemies, but now were brethren. He was a man who was able to help build the bridge and bridge the gap between Philemon and Onesimus. A man who was there to verify that the man who once ran away and wronged you, Philemon, is not the man who stands before you today. He's changed. What Paul has written to you is true. He has been useful to the ministry of our brother Paul. But what Paul says to you in that letter is also true. And friend, I know that what Paul believes about you, Philemon, I do too, which is why he sent me and did not send Onesimus alone. He was a peacemaker. He was a comforter. He was a messenger. Brethren, these are all talents that you and I can do today. You and I can still be messengers of the kingdom. You and I can be comforters within the kingdom. You and I can serve as peacemakers between members of the kingdom. None of them require a degree in theology. They simply require love, compassion, and effort. My friend, this evening you've heard about the example of Tychicus, but you can be a messenger of comfort and hope for us too. Because you see, what we want you to understand is that right now, outside of Christ, you are lost. But the light of Christ is shining for you tonight. Tonight, you can come into contact with the blood of the Lamb. Tonight, you can be washed from your sins. You see, the comfort is this, that no sin that you may have committed is more powerful than God. There is no sin that you may feel that is too red that God cannot make white. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17 through 19, God makes this promise. He says, "Even if your sins are as scarlet, I will make them white as snow." Friend, let it comfort you that not only your sins cannot stand a chance against the power of forgiveness and love of God, but also He's left you a family here on earth that will help you. You will not be left to your own devices. You do not have to learn how to be and live faithfully by yourself. He's given you His holy inspired word, but He's also given you older siblings that are ready to help develop your faith. We are known as the church, and we are here ready to serve. We are members of one another. Please, let us have the great opportunity to be a Tychicus to you. Let us have the opportunity to bring forth whatever message it is that you need. Brethren, perhaps there is discomfort in your heart. Perhaps you have been tortured by decisions that you have made that are not pleasing before the eyes of God. Perhaps you're at odds with one of your fellow members, and you need a Tychicus to stand and to help bring peace between you and that significant other. Perhaps you just need someone to speak to, someone to vent to, someone that can be a comforting, fortunate presence for you. We are here this evening ready to serve in this capacity if it is needed. Thus, the invitation is made. And as the book of Revelation chapter 22 says, the Spirit and the Bride says, "Come." What will your answer be as we stand and sing our hymn of invitation?